Yeah, please.
Okay, thanks. So I will be talking about turbulent dynamo, and this work is done in collaboration with Fausto Catania, and we're all part of the Center for Magnetic Self-Organization and Laboratory of Physical Plasmas. So the questions which I will try to ask is, can a turbulence amplify a weak magnetic field? So I will be talking about only turbulent dynamo, fast dynamo. And the second question is, what are the scales and growth rates of amplified magnetic fluctuations? So in these two questions will be answered in the framework of the kinematic dynamo theory. So let me explain what is assumed in this theory. So we will try to solve the induction equation, which is given here, where the velocity field will be assumed given. Since there is no back reaction of the magnetic field to the velocity field, so we assume that this field is given. So if it's given, let's assume that we have a well-developed turbulence, so this velocity field has a Kolmogorov spectrum. We supply energy at some scale, inverse scale K naught, and remove energy at the viscous scale, and there is an well-developed inertial interval with a spectrum K to minus 5/3. So even from this simple phenomenological picture, we can already predict some important results. So first of all, velocity fluctuations, RMS velocity fluctuations at some scale lambda, would scale as lambda to the power 1/3. And the typical scale of typical time of fluctuations at this scale will be estimated as the so-called eddy turnover time, which is lambda to minus 2/3. So this picture immediately tells us that if the smaller eddies rotate faster, so small eddies should have a smaller, shorter correlation time. They should rotate faster. So actually, this would be lambda to 2/3. Yeah, it should be 2/3. Yeah, so they will have shorter correlation time and therefore faster rotation rate. So, and from that, we can conclude that magnetic field would be most efficiently amplified by the edges which have the fastest rotation rate, and these are the smallest edges in which magnetic field is frozen. So this is the first conclusion. And so, and the size of such edges is defined by resistivity. So for different resistivity, we'll have different edges in which magnetic field is frozen. So this is a picture which demonstrates the role of resistivity. So we will have the same energy spectrum of velocity fluctuations. And now if the resistivity is very small, if the resistive scale is much smaller than the viscous scale, then magnetic fluctuations will be most efficiently amplified by the velocity fluctuations at the viscous scale, because these fluctuations have the highest rotation rate, and magnetic field is still frozen in these small scale edges. This is a case of the so-called large magnetic Prandtl number, and if we're well above the dynamo threshold, the growth rate would be proportional to the eddy turnover rate at the viscous scale. And this velocity field is, we can call it smooth, because at the scales where magnetic field is amplified, and magnetic field would be amplified at the resistive scales, which I will explain later, at such small scales, we will see only the smooth, the velocity field will look like smooth field, right? Because we're interested in a very, very small scales. Velocity field doesn't change on such small scales because we are well beyond the viscous scale. So the situation is quite different if we have a small magnetic Prandtl number. So in this case, viscosity is much smaller than resistivity, and the smallest eddy in which magnetic field is still frozen is the eddy which is somewhere here, which is in the middle, so somewhere inside the inertial interval. So in this case, the velocity fluctuations which will be seen by this magnetic field would not be smooth. They would be rough with its roughness exponent 1/3. And this, of course, poses some problems for the analytic derivation. Okay, so after this phenomenological picture, we can turn to more quantitative analysis. So now we will try to solve this induction equation where velocity field will be given. And we again answer these two questions. What is the dynamo threshold, the critical magnetic Reynolds number, and what is the spatial structure of the growing magnetic fluctuations, characteristic scale and spectrum? So in this, these quantitative questions cannot be answered from the qualitative phenomenological picture which I discussed before. So we have to do actually some calculations here. So, and before I introduce the model, which is known for quite a long time, which is a Kazantsev model of dynamo, I would like to give some motivation to this model. So if in any system which we consider, there is some critical magnetic Reynolds dynamo. Above the critical magnetic Reynolds dynamo, we have dynamo action, magnetic Reynolds number. Below this number, there is no dynamo action. So if we just, and why this happens? Because if we're above the critical magnetic Reynolds number, stretching of magnetic field lines prevail over the dissipation of magnetic field. If we're below the critical magnetic Reynolds number, dissipation or reconnection wins, and we cannot stretch magnetic field lines exponentially fast. So if we are precisely at the critical magnetic Reynolds number, stretching should balance reconnection. Right? So and this is a little cartoon which actually shows what happens if we are precisely at the critical magnetic Reynolds number. So we start stretching and twisting magnetic field lines. Magnetic field lines we bring into small scales. Now resistivity comes into play, and we cannot stretch magnetic field lines anymore after that. So, which means that it takes many eddy turnover times when we exceed the critical magnetic Reynolds number only slightly. It takes many eddy turnover times until we amplify, until we stretch magnetic field lines by some amount. So, in this process is in some sense a diffusion process. This stretching of magnetic field lines a diffusion process. So, we need to accumulate very many stretching events before we stretch our magnetic field by some considerable amount. So, this also means that the eddy turnover time actually doesn't matter in this picture, this physical picture, because it takes many eddy turnover times before we amplify our magnetic field, and therefore, if yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So I'm speaking about, like, if we ask what is the threshold dynamo, whether dynamo is possible or not. At the threshold, it shouldn't really matter, like, what the eddy turnover time is, because eddy can only invert magnetic field and stretch magnetic field. Advection doesn't do anything to the strength of magnetic field, and stretching is almost balanced by the diffusion. So, and this was used by Kazantsev in constructing the Kazantsev model of dynamo. And actually, interesting that this year is 40 year. This model was constructed in 1968. So he said, okay, since velocity field, it takes many velocity field fluctuations until we amplify our magnetic field, we can as well assume that magnetic field, that the velocity field is random, Gaussian, since we have to accumulate very many stretching events before we amplify magnetic field. By central limit theorem, we can assume that it's actually random, a random Gaussian velocity field. Now we can assume that the correlation time is short, and short compared to what? Short compared to the inverse growth rate of our magnetic field. So, and basically, what we need, as in any diffusion-type model, what we will only need in this theory is the diffusion coefficient, which will be provided by the velocity field. So, if we, and we just choose short-time correlated velocity field because it's simpler to solve our model with this velocity field. The only object will enter in all these equations would be the diffusion coefficient, in integral of this velocity field over the t minus t prime. So if the diffusion coefficient in this model is the same as the diffusion coefficient in a real velocity field, everything should be fine. Okay, so we assume that velocity field is Gaussian. We specify the second order correlator of the velocity field. And now, since we can also assume homogeneity and isotropy, because at very, very small scale, no matter what the structure of the large-scale floor, velocity fluctuations should be isotropic. So we assume homogeneity and isotropy. Then this velocity correlation function depends only on two independent functions. And also, since the velocity field is incompressible, these two functions are not independent. There is a relation between them. And therefore, velocity field depends only on one independent function, which is just the spectrum. We can say it's just the spectrum of the velocity field. So then what we want to find is the correlation function of the magnetic field, which also, due to homogeneity and isotropy, depends only on two independent functions. But again, since magnetic field is also incompressible, only one of those two functions is independent. So we're given the velocity field, correlation function, we're given the velocity spectrum. We need to find the correlation function of the magnetic field, which will be growing in time. So what Kazantsev showed that the equation which governs the correlation function of the magnetic field is actually the Schrödinger equation. It can be mapped to the Schrödinger equation. So the mapping is the following. If we're given a velocity correlation function, V, we can construct a potential in the Schrödinger equation. Then if we found the eigenmode in this potential, this eigenmode can be mapped back to the magnetic field correlation function. And the energy level in this potential would correspond to the growth rate of this magnetic fluctuation. So, and since we have this minus sign here and we don't have I, it's a real-time Schrödinger equation, imaginary-time Schrödinger equation, so the fastest growing rate would correspond to the ground state in this potential, the lowest energy level. And then the only question we have to answer, given this potential, whether it has a negative ground state. If it doesn't have negative ground state, there is no dynamo. If it does have negative ground state, there is dynamo. And if we found the ground state function, would give us the correlation function of the magnetic field. So if we are given this correlation function, we can construct this potential. It's not exactly the same. You have to multiply it by some. So this scale is a resistive scale, so it goes down because of resistivity. You cannot have a magnetic field at very, very small scales at the resistive scales. And then this part here corresponds to the large scales, and this part corresponds to the inertial interval of the velocity field. Okay. So, and what are the predictions of this model? So, it can be solved for a large magnetic Prandtl number, for small magnetic Prandtl number, for any spectrum we want, but we always use a Kolmogorov spectrum. So, and the solution is the following. For large magnetic Prandtl number, it shows that the dynamo is possible. And the energy spectrum scales as k to 3/2. And numerical simulations seem to confirm this prediction. These are numerical simulations from 2004 with very high resolution, Prandtl number up to 500. And you see that indeed 3/2 spectrum is very well reproduced. Okay, now what about small magnetic Prandtl numbers? So in small magnetic Prandtl numbers, I repeat, the magnetic fluctuations should be amplified by the edges from the inertial interval. So the question is whether the turbulent dynamo action possible in such velocity field or not. So first, this question was addressed in 1950 by Batchelor, who used the analogy of magnetic field lines and vorticity lines. And he said that since in a well-developed turbulence, vorticity field is not amplified, it's a steady state turbulence, then magnetic field will not be amplified in such a velocity field if magnetic viscosity is exactly resistivity is exactly equal to viscosity. Because if resistivity is exactly equal to viscosity, the equation for the vorticity field is identical to the equation for the magnetic field. Just all terms are the same. And therefore, since vorticity is not amplified in a steady state turbulence, magnetic field should not be amplified either. So this analogy was criticized by Krechten and Nagarajan, who said that analogy with vorticity doesn't work, because vorticity field is a field of it's a set of measures zero out of all initial conditions which you can have for our magnetic field. If you introduce any magnetic field which is not everywhere aligned with the vorticity field, this magnetic field will easily be amplified by this velocity field. So it's only for very, very special initial conditions Batchelor analogy should work. Then, sometime later, Weinstein and Kichatinov actually tried to look at this problem in terms of the Kazantsev model. Kazantsev model was invented after all these events. So they looked at the Kazantsev model, and indeed they saw that indeed dynamo is possible. It doesn't matter what the magnetic Prandtl number is, dynamo is always possible. And by the way, Kazantsev model, I will use it later. So Kazantsev model actually works quite well, not only at the dynamo threshold, but even above the dynamo threshold. And we don't maybe understand, still don't understand why it works so well. But I would like maybe mention here that Kazantsev model although it can be formulated quite in a quite simple way, is a stochastic partial differential equation. So it's not, we still don't know its solution in its full generality. So we can answer the question about the second order correlator of magnetic field about magnetic energy, but if we ask what are the 3-point, 4-point correlations of magnetic field, there is no answer. We don't know yet. Right, but I think they did it in the regime of high large magnetic Prandtl number when velocity field is smooth. So in this case, you can. But here with small magnetic Prandtl number, in general case, it's really hard problem. The same problem people have in passive scalar advection, this Krafan model. Sometimes it's called the Kazantsev-Krafan model. Krafan suggested the same model for the passive scalar. Okay, but at least for the energy spectrum, where we can solve this model. Now, some time ago, in 2004, there appeared numerical simulations, direct numerical simulations of small Prandtl number dynamo, which concluded that dynamo action does not exist for small magnetic Prandtl number. And actually, this introduced a lot of confusion at that time. And some other groups started to do numerical simulations. And by 2007, the question was settled even at this numerical level. The conclusion was that, yes, dynamo exists. So what was the problem? What was the difference between the simulation? Magnetic Reynolds number, the resolution. So once you larger simulation box, we could do simulations with high resolution, we could immediately see that dynamo exists for a small magnetic Prandtl number. Okay, so and conclusion is presented here. Suppose that we have some velocity spectrum and some which is terminated at the viscous scale and magnetic field spectrum terminated at the resistive scale. And now let us do the following experiment. Let us keep the large scale structure of the spectrum unchanged. We don't do anything with this large scale edges. But let us add more and more small scale edges. The slopes here are the same. Just we add more and more small scale edges. We decrease viscosity such that we start with a large magnetic Prandtl number, and when we add more and more small scale fluctuations, we end up with small magnetic Prandtl number. But the only thing we change is adding these small scale fluctuations of velocity field. And dynamo, so if we have dynamo here, we can observe that dynamo shuts off here if our magnetic Reynolds number is not large enough. So only changing small scale structure of the velocity field, we can shut off the dynamo. But then dynamo can be again, dynamo can again reappear if now we increase the magnetic Reynolds number. Which means that if we compare two cases of large and small magnetic Prandtl number, the dynamo is possible in both cases. But in the case of small magnetic Prandtl number, we have to drastically increase the magnetic Reynolds number to see the dynamo action. So this is a conclusion. Yeah, we only change this, we only add more and more small scale fluctuations of the velocity field. This is the only thing we do. In velocity field, from smooth velocity field at this scale, it becomes a rough velocity field at this scale. And also, since velocity field participates in two processes, it stretches the magnetic field lines, and it also tries to bring magnetic field lines to smaller scales to diffuse them. So it's hard to say which process would win. For the rough velocity field, it's harder to, we have to work harder to get dynamo, but dynamo is still possible. Yes. So this velocity field is rough. This velocity field is smooth. Yep. Okay. And next, let's again turn to numerical simulations. So Fausta and I try to look at this problem in terms of Kazantsev model, try to understand why this jump in this critical magnetic Reynolds number occurs. And indeed, the solution of the Kazantsev model immediately showed us that if we start with smooth velocity field, with large magnetic Prandtl number, and slowly go to the Kolmogorov velocity field, to rough velocity field, with small magnetic Prandtl number, we have to increase the resolution of our simulation box by about a factor of 7. And numerical simulations that followed in 2005 and 2007 indeed obtained very, very similar curve how magnetic Reynolds number changes when we change the Prandtl number. And of course, it tells us that, as Carey also mentioned, it tells us that turbulence at sub-resistive scales is really a big problem for laboratory experiments. And Cartan's model also shows why, tells us why this happens. Okay, so and these are numerical simulations of small Prandtl number dynamo by Menini et al. And indeed, they see that when they change magnetic Prandtl number at magnetic Prandtl number of order one, which wave velocity field is marginally smooth, the spectrum is then close to 3/2. But when we change a magnetic Prandtl number, when we decrease magnetic Prandtl number, spectrum becomes a little bit broader. And this is also the reason why we need larger simulation box. The eigenmode, which grows in such velocity field, is larger. So we need larger scale separation to fit in this growing mode into the simulation box. Okay, so a next question, maybe after 5 minutes for the question. So this is what happens if we have also some helicity in the velocity field. So far we considered the case where velocity field was non-helical on average. So in a velocity field without helicity, it is natural to expect that magnetic field will be amplified at some scales which are smaller than the typical scales of the velocity field. Now the question is, can turbulence amplify magnetic fields at much larger scales, at scales much larger than the scales of the velocity field? And the answer is yes, if velocity field has non-zero helicity. This is a very famous result. And we would like to see what Kazantsev model actually tells us about this helical kinematic dynamo. So in this case, we assume that velocity field possesses non-zero helicity. So this integral is non-zero. So now velocity field correlator should depend not only on one function, but on two independent functions. One function describes the energy, and the other function describes the helicity of the velocity field. Right? And similarly, the magnetic energy correlator should also have two functions, the magnetic energy and magnetic helicity. So instead of finding one function, we have to find two independent functions. So these two functions, for example, are given, and these two functions have to be found. And so these equations, which are equations for these unknown functions M and F, were derived by Weinstein and Kinchatinov in 1996. And it took us about 20 years to figure out that, in fact, this coupled system of partial differential equations can also be cast into this form of Schrödinger equation. So one can implement some change of variables and show that this equation looks like that, where we, where index beta and alpha changes from 1 to 2. So the magnetic correlation function psi, there are two functions. One corresponds to energy, and the other one corresponds to magnetic helicity. And this Hamiltonian is a self-adjoint differential operator. So it could be cast in the self-adjoint form. So, but of course, this operator is quite complicated. It cannot be separated into potential and kinetic part. But nevertheless, we can have this, in quotes, picture, which qualitatively correct. So in a non-helical system, we have a potential which looks like that. So only small-scale dynamo is possible. So these are energy levels, and these are the scales where our magnetic fluctuations can be amplified. In a helical dynamo, this potential, this hum goes down, and we can also have a mode, unbound modes, which are correlated at the whole simulation domain, the whole simulation box, or at the whole physical system which we investigate. So these modes have very large correlation lengths, but these modes grow very slowly, much slower than these fast modes, short-time correlated modes. So and the question is whether we can derive the equation for the large-scale modes. So Kazantsev model shows that if we have helical dynamo, there will be a whole bunch of modes which grow. There will be small-scale modes, large-scale modes. And what's interesting that in principle, there is no separation of scales between these modes. So strictly speaking, we cannot say that we have small-scale fluctuations of velocity field, which grows small-scale magnetic fluctuation, and then separately from that, we have very large magnetic field, which grows at much larger scales at much slower time scale. So there is, it seems that at least in the Kazantsev model, there is no separation of scales, And therefore, to understand how magnetic field is growing at large scales, we have to take out all those modes. This mode, for example, this mode here decays very fast in space, but it grows very fast as well. So if we sit in somewhere here and wait long enough, we will see this mode rather than this one, and so on. So one can say that the alpha model, which uses the scale separation and averages over small scale fluctuations of magnetic and velocity field, uses a potential which doesn't look like that, but looks something like that, which doesn't have small scale fluctuations, but has only large scale fluctuations. And I think I conclude here. So the conclusion is that main aspects of kinematic turbulent dynamo are relatively well understood, both phenomenologically and analytically, in terms of this minimal Kazantsev model. So dynamo always exists, but for small magnetic Prandtl numbers, there is a jump in critical magnetic Reynolds number. And it also shows that separation of small and large scales may not be a correct procedure if we have a lot of small scale magnetic fluctuations which are growing very fast. Thank you.
Strauss, very interesting results. And I have two questions, in fact. The first about the last year results with this potential. Mm-hmm. Are there parameter ranges where this potential will have two local minima, so that there will be scale separation with tunneling effect, perhaps, between them?
No, we don't see it. Not in the Kazantsev model. There are just passing particle and trapped particle. We don't have.
Mm-hmm. And second, this Kazantsev spectrum, k to the power 3/2, which emerges for large and small Prandtl numbers. Is there any? It's so sort of stable. It emerges again and again. Are there simple arguments, simple hand waving arguments, order function estimates, which will show what's the origin of this, nature of this spectrum?
So two points here. So it doesn't emerge at small magnetic Prandtl numbers. I showed this picture. So it's more. Yeah, it's flatter. It starts from 3/2, but it becomes it's something else. It's slightly flatter than 3/2. So. We can, of course, try to look at this asymptotics in the Kazantsev model, but nobody did so far, so we don't really know what the scaling is. And second point, whether we can predict the scaling from any dimensional arguments, there is no such prediction. We cannot predict spectrum from any dimensional arguments. This is something analogous to anomalous scaling exponents, which we have in statistical mechanics. Yeah, so there is no scaling explanation.
Talking about these spectra, they don't look very much like the experimental spectra of the function of frequency measured in dynamo experiments, lab experiments. Do we know what the main difference is coming from? Is it because of this helicity that you mentioned, and then what are the predictions for that case? Or is it because it's a frequency spectrum? Or is it because there are some large-scale motions, mean flow, which is not present?
So in dynamo experiments, you also have, of course, helicity, and you don't have large-scale separation between the integral scale and the resistive scale. So you don't really know. You can separate small-scale dynamo from large-scale dynamo in this case. So it's hard. Of course, one could try to do something like that without large-scale separation and see how this mode should look like. But I didn't consider this case. I just looked at some limiting cases when we have very large magnetic Reynolds number, very large Reynolds number.
The alpha effect has a tendency to separate magnetic helicity into larger and smaller scales. The range over which they are separated is not very big. It can be as small as a factor of 2. Mm-hmm. Is this tendency recovered by any of those modes that you showed here?
We're just starting to investigate these modes, how these modes, growing modes, look like in the case space. We don't have any results which I can report right now. So, but we can, of course, look at just scale by scale what is the spectrum of growing magnetic mode in the helical case for low and large Prandtl numbers. Yeah, this is an interesting question. Yeah.
If I understood correctly, you always made the assumption that the velocity correlator is a delta function in time, the time difference. Is it a restriction, or what happens if you admit a finite correlation time?
So as I said, if we're just looking at the dynamo onset, at the threshold of dynamo, then it doesn't seem to produce big difference. because everything is growing so slowly, so it doesn't matter what is the correlation time of the velocity. It doesn't seem to matter. Of course, mathematically we cannot prove that it's exactly like that, but physically we understand why it's happening. But then the question is whether this approximation can work if we're well above the dynamo threshold. And then I don't know. Then, of course, there might be different differences. So I think Steve Tobias had a talk last week. So if we have long-living coherent structures, it can alter the dynamo growth rate. I think if you're well above the dynamo threshold.
I was just going to ask, would you rule out the possibility that after you get beyond the kinematic regime that some kind of more scale separation might evolve? Is that a possibility? It's not easily, I guess, detectable in the Kazantsev model, but is that...
Yeah, so if we're beyond the kinematic stage, we have to introduce somehow back reaction we have to modify the velocity correlator by magnetic field correlator. This has been done, I think, starting with Zildovich. People try to introduce some terms, nonlinear terms, which are related to magnetic field and velocity correlator. But it's hard. I think the numerical simulations are the only means to address this question. So it's really pretty much whatever you introduce, that's what you get. I mean, depending on what you want to get, you can introduce back reaction in such a way. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe last question before I still talk.
Can you play with the slope of the energy spectrum, and can you make a rough velocity field look smooth if you have a steeper energy spectrum? Or does it depend?
What?
If you didn't have a k to the minus 5/3, mm-hmm. if you put in a different slope, how does that affect things?
Yeah, so we can play with different slopes, and actually this plot shows here. So we start with a smooth velocity field, where slope decays faster than k to minus 3, so that when you integrate, you get a smooth velocity field. And as you change this exponent from up to minus 1, so at minus 1, there will be no dynamo. So at least in this model, at minus 1, dynamo shuts off. But the Kolmogorov velocity is not minus 1, it's minus 1, it's minus 3/4, so it's... So the rougher the velocity field, the harder we should work to get the dynamo.
Let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you. So